and you may not be familiar with it, and that is our Judeo-Christian identity. Our Judeo-Christian identity. That's what this nation was founded upon. And folks, I'm here to announce today, we have drastically, dramatically moved away from that. A lot of folks say this is not true, but I'm going to show to you today that it is true. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis, the first book. Genesis means beginning. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I want to thank the Lord while you're turning there for... We've got a lot of gifted people here, and Lois Nesbitt, she's about the most gifted person I know. She does all this decorating, the beautiful banners, the flags here, the candles, and all that, and she puts all this together. Let's thank the Lord for her, and better remember Crystal too, though, because Crystal will get me. Because if I forget Crystal, I will hear it. I'll tell you that. Anyway, I'm just picking. Genesis chapter 12. Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. This is the covenant that God gave Abraham. And by the way, when God gives a covenant, it remains. It will never change. This is God's covenant. God still has his hands upon the Jews. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord have said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for the Bible today as we are going to talk about it. I pray, God, that we all would have a new appreciation. And I pray for your anointing to be upon this service. Would you anoint us all afresh and anew, especially me? Would you speak through me with clarity, truth, and authority? Thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I read this thing only in America. I found it to be somewhat humorous. So listen to what I want to share with you. Only in America can pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance. Only in America do drugstores, this is what's interesting, make the sick walk all the way in the back to get their prescriptions. Amen. While healthy people can buy suntan lotion at the front. Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Only in America do we leave our cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and fill our garages with junk. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. But my favorite one is this one. Only in America do we have Braille on drive-through ATM machines. I love America. We're different. Y'all know we're different? The United States of America is the only country in history to have defined itself or identify itself as Judeo-Christian. While the Western world has consisted of many Christian countries and consists today of many secular countries, only America has called itself Judeo-Christian. Some would argue that a few of our nation's founding fathers were not Christians. Some would say that they were deists. Whether they are Christian or not, their writings, their words, and yes, their votes indicated that the vast majority of them embraced the Judeo-Christian Bible as the basis for a civilized society and social order. It is especially important during these days of rampant pluralism and situation ethics that we remember these same anchors of faith and values that are brought to us through the Word of God. The Declaration of Independence, the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those inalienable rights are founded in biblical truth. Our Judeo-Christian identity is under great attack. The term and meaning is not widely understood, and if we do not understand it, we will not understand how to defend it. We'll not be able to defend it. And if we cannot defend it, America will become a moral as France and Germany and Russia. You say, well, preacher, just what is our Judeo-Christian identity? Well, I'm going to identify them with what I'm calling today seven fireworks. So I'm going to give you the fireworks today, all right? And what I mean by those fireworks, I mean areas that are mostly controversial. So, you know, I guess I've had the name from day one here of stirring the pot, so I might as well just keep stirring it. Amen. I'm going to stir the pot today because I'm afraid we're getting away from our values. The lights of our liberty are being blown out. And guess who's allowing it? Christians are. Because Christians don't stand anymore. In fact, you can't get them to stand for anything. Did you know that? It's hard to get Christians to take a stand today. And if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything, right? We need to learn to stand again, and I want to talk about that today. The promise to Abram is one of the most significant passages in all of Scripture, in all the Bible. It points ultimately to the redemption of the whole world. Abram's family became a divinely appointed channel through which blessing would come to all men. The promise was formalized in a covenant and was repeated four additional times in Scripture, twice to Abraham, once to Isaac, and once to Jacob. The promise, listen to this, I wish I had time to get in this. This promise is emphasized in the New Testament in Acts 3:25, Romans 4:13, and listen to this. Galatians 3:8 says it is called the gospel. That covenant. You want to look it up? Galatians 3:8 and verse 29. This covenant is even called the gospel. And Ephesians 2:12. Its importance to the Gentiles is evident, for it is clearly stated that Gentiles were separate and foreigners of the covenants of the promise, have been brought in, the Bible says, we studied this last week, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We studied last week our identity in Christ. We learned that last week that it's in Christ and Christ alone that we're made right with the Holy God. So I'm going to deal with these three verses real quick, but I'm going to give you seven fireworks. Number one, and that is the call. Notice the call. And by the way, I'm speaking of a call for your life too. God is calling people in this church to do ministry. And by the way, I personally believe this. This is my call. I believe if God calls you to do something, He don't uncall you. If He calls you to salvation, He don't uncall you, and you can't undo what God does. Hello? If He calls you to preach the gospel, I have no plans, just so you'll know, to ever retire. I want to preach till I'm dead. Amen. And I just believe you're supposed to continue the call. Now, you may retire from a pastor, you may retire from something, but you've got to continue to do what God's called you to do. It's a call of obligation. I see that as the scripture says, now the Lord have said. And by the way, if you really understand who the Lord is, notice the word is capitalized here. That name always, when you see capital, L-O-R-D, it means Jehovah God. The word Jehovah means self-existing one. The word Lord means the sole owner and operator of your life. And when the Lord calls you to do something, you best do it. Amen? You know, I really believe God called America. I do. I believe God called America to be a land of free, of the free. I believe we're called to liberty. I really believe that is our call. But with that call comes a lot of obligation. The Christians who founded America saw themselves as heirs of the Hebrew Bible. We owe it to our Lord Jesus Christ as citizens of this great land to understand what they understood. Jesus said it in Luke 12:48, "For unto much is given, much shall be required." Our forefathers who founded this country not only read their Bible, they also understood their Bible. Here's firework number one. You want to write it down? It was never the intent of our founding fathers to leave God out of government, but rather to make God the center of it, and they chose the Bible. They chose the Bible to be the center. The Bible was to be the foundational principles this nation was founded upon. Listen to this statistic. 94% of the writings of the founding fathers of this country contained scriptures. 94% quotations from the Word of God. Most all historical treasures have scriptures written on them. All of the schools that started back then, I mean, all, historically, they have scriptures written on them. Here's a good example, the Statue of Liberty, which is a precious treasure. It has this scripture written on it, Leviticus 35:10 at the base. Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof, Leviticus 25:10. It is believed by those who found this nation that God had called America to spread liberty in the world. In 1777, these are all facts, they're in our history books. Seems like they don't get taught in school, but I'm teaching them today. These are facts. In 1777, Congress voted to spend $300,000 to purchase the King James Bible to be distributed throughout the nation. That is a fact. America's first public school textbook was the New England Primer. It was a King James Version Bible. They learned the alphabet by quoting scripture. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. C, confess with thy mouth. In other words, they learned the alphabet by quoting scriptures. Also, that little textbook, the first I'm talking about that was purchased with federal money, was to teach them the Bible on how they're to live their lives. You know, I really believe our forefathers were a lot smarter than people today. I do. Because they understood the value of the Word of God. Oh, I'm not done with this firework yet. I'm just fixing to blast it off here. History tells us that George Washington, our very first president, you're not going to believe this if you don't know it. He took the oath of office, put his hand on the Bible, and his first official act as president was to kiss the Bible. And then he held a 2-hour praise and worship service with Congress. Did you know that? We get upset in our churches if we have praise and worship. But in Congress, this is a fact. They had praise and worship. Did you know that? Our sixth president, John Quincy Adams, said, "No book in the world deserves to be so unceasingly studied and so profoundly meditated upon as the Bible." In 1776, our nation's birthday, 11 of the 13 colonies obligated that one had to be a Christian to be eligible to run for office. Wow. Look up here. You'll know why God has blessed America, because of these people. Amen. The founding fathers. God will always honor people who feel that there is a call of obligation to the Lord. Abram, he heard that call of God. He understood that he is Lord. It didn't matter that God was asking him to leave his country or God was asking him to leave his family. Whatever God said, Abram believed God. And the Bible says it was imputed unto him as righteous. Let me give you a second firework before I leave this call of obligation. One that bothers me is human dignity. These are all principles of the Judeo-Christian identity. So I'm identifying the Judeo-Christian value system with these seven fireworks. Okay, the first was that these people believed the Bible and they believed that the government should be based upon it, that Christ, Jesus Christ, should be the center of government. That's what they believed. The second thing is they believed in human dignity. If people and nations do not grant this respect and protection for the born and unborn, all other professed morals and values are meaningless because they are no longer undergirded by the most basic of human needs, and that's the need to exist. Since Roe versus Wade, and I'll try not to cry, in 1973, when that ridiculous ruling came down, guess how many abortions have been performed just in America? This is not the world. Just in America, 59,115,995 lives have been taken in America. And yet, one of the things we value in America is human dignity. We believe in life. I find it most interesting that you can go to the Outer Banks. Me and the children were there one time, and we were out, Harker's Island, and we took the ferry over, and they got all over my kids because they had walked into an area for turtles to lay their eggs. They will fine you for that. You can't even cross the path of where the turtle goes up to lay its eggs. We treasure a turtle's eggs, but we won't treasure a human life. There's something wrong with that picture in America. God help us. I believe there is a call of obligation that we're to protect our unborn. We are. Now you say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, I can't help that you're wrong, but I believe with all my heart that we Christians are to protect little babies. My wife and I, you know, we're busy here at the church, and we decided, you know what? No one's going to see this little grandbaby of ours grow up except us. And we drove down to see that little baby. And to hold that little baby in your arms and for it to google and gaggle and whatever it does and spit up all over my shirt, and I enjoyed every bit of it. Amen. You know why? I love little babies, don't you? And someone asked the question, well, God, why didn't you send someone to find the cure for cancer and the cure for AIDS? And God said, well, I did, but you aborted him. That's a firework. It's a very controversial thing in America. I don't mind being controversial. And did you know that we've got some of these services that are viewed on YouTube? Some of them have been they've been viewed on the YouTube over 500 and some times by some people. Somebody's going to watch this and get mad at me. But there's the call of, I don't care. The call of obedience. There's the call of obedience. Here is Abram. Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house. Here we see the calling of God on one's life to leave all to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus summed it up best. And by the way, if you want to know what the Judeo-Christian identity really is about, you would have to know the Ten Commandments. And Jesus, because you see the forefathers, they based a lot of the social order and the morality for our country on the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, I'm going to sum it all up for you. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all of your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know what? If we did that in this country, there'd be no conflict. You know what? We can't even do that in our churches. That's the truth. Church people don't even get along. We're so divided over the least little things. And I'll tell you what the problem is in the church, and I'll tell you what the problem is in the world. It's sin. The bottom line, there's sin. There's sin in this church. There's sin outside of this church. Because the bottom line is this, we're not willing to obey God. We have got to the place today that we've decided that it's more important to obey man than to obey God. Really. Friend, I'm going to tell you, we've got to take a stand and decide. Did you know man can be wrong? Did you know God never can? Amen? God is always right. There is a call of obedience. Henry Blackaby said, one can't go with God and stay where he is. Folks, it's time for us to move. And God has called you to obedience. And whatever God calls you to do, I don't believe God uncalls you. I find it hard. I went to Campbell University with about 280-some preachers, graduated with less than 100. They found out that they were not called of God. They were called by mom and daddy or grandparents. By the way, when God calls you, he don't uncall you, all right? And then third of all, I got to move quickly today, is the call of opportunity. Notice what God said to Abram. He said, and unto a land that I will show thee. This man had the faith that he would just step out and believe God, that wherever God led him to go, that would be the right place. Amen? Look up here, folks. Do you know God will never lead you wrong? I mean, now you can lead you wrong. Hello? I can lead you wrong, but God can never lead you wrong. It's a call of opportunity. The land that God promised to Abram was a land flowing with milk and honey. You see that in Exodus 6, 7, and 8. You say, no, that was the Exodus from Egypt. But listen to what the Bible says. This is what God said. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Listen to what he says. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. All right, here's a firework. By the way, this was a major firework even when our nation was founded. You may not know this, but the people who came over from England, they had servants. And they had people that always was there working for them. When they came to this land, they found out something. You got to go to work. The first year, many of these people starved to death. You know why? They were not willing to work. And this is the third firework, the national work ethic. The national work ethic. We're living in a land of opportunity today, and we have no excuses. Anyone can make it in this land if he has a heart to work. This is part of the fiber of the Judeo-Christian identity. 2 Thessalonians 3:12, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. I wish I had the time to tell you the story about a young man I ran into at a thrift store in Sanford one day. I was in the Goodwill store, and I was talking to this young man, and he makes his living on selling this stuff, started to say junk, but stuff, on eBay. I couldn't believe it, what he told me. He was clearing a month, $4,000 a month. He's making $1,000 a month. He was telling me how he did it. He said, man, I get this gold sometimes, and I get it melt down, and I sell it. And he said, I made a killing. I bought a gold ring one time. Somebody must not knew what it was. I paid about 50 cents for it and sold it for $500. I'm telling you, anybody who wants to make a living can make a living in this land. All you got to do is go to work. And by the way, that boy told me, he said, I'm not smart. I'm not educated. But I got enough sense that if I buy it low and sell it high, I can make a good living. And you know, you think about it. This is an opportunity that God's given us. Amen? God has given us a great opportunity. And the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't what? Yeah. That's something that we still need to learn here in this country. A call of opportunity. That's the call that God has given us. I got to get into the meat of this, and that's the covenant. Now, God gave me this. I'm going to give it to you. Verse 2, he says, and I will make of thee a great nation. Here's where God starts. And I will bless thee. Now, notice the I wills in this. Four different times in these scriptures, in three verses, God says, I will. When God says, I will, there's going to be some fireworks. Because when God says he's going to do something, it's going to be something good. Hello? He says, I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Firework number 4 is the Abrahamic covenant. It states that if a person or a nation obeys God and observes the moral truths found in the Bible, that person or that nation will be blessed of God. That is a promise of God. Are y'all listening? Do I need to give it to you again? The Abrahamic covenant states that if a person or a nation obeys God, observing the moral truths found in the Bible, that person or that nation will be blessed of God. If they disobey, they will bring punishment upon themselves and others. For most of our nation's history, Americans have accepted as a fact that good deeds produce good results, that people who are God-fearing and respectable in language and lifestyle would be blessed by God. This fact has been proven to be true time and time again. Listen to this verse, Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Amen. Sin is a disgrace. You know what? When I was reading about this and about our country leaving this value system called the Judeo-Christian, already we see it in other countries, France and Germany and Russia, meaning that there is no value system. They don't care what's right or wrong. I believe in America, we still care what's right and what's wrong. I really believe it makes a difference that we teach our children what's right and wrong. I met with those who are going to get baptized next Sunday, and little Self and Clay were there, and I asked them, I said, what is sin? They said, it's when you disobey. I said, well, have you ever disobeyed mommy? He said, oh, yeah, and it hurts, you know? They understood that there's a result to that action. You know what? We got to understand, friend, there are consequences to our decisions. You have a choice about your decisions, but you never have a choice about your consequences. Amen. The consequences will follow. Firework number 5, common decency. Common decency. Decent nations are made up of decent people who, when faced with a situation, would do the decent and the honest thing. Engraved in the pedestal on which stands the Statue of Liberty are those words, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, to me, and I lift my lamp beside the golden door." You know, in America, we do believe in decency. We do. We believe in being right with all people. We want to be a people that we're grateful for what God has given us, and we want to share it with the world and to teach others how to live a peaceful life and to be decent in our dealings. Here's the covenant. Number one, it's a promise. He says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee." Particularly with the blessing of fruitfulness he was speaking of here. Here was the promise that God gave Abram. "I will give you a son." Now, Abram, you know, he was in his, at the time Isaac was born, he was over 100 years old. Sarah was in her 90s. Sarah laughed at God, thought it was funny. But guess what? God had the last laugh because she did have a son. And God's promise was this: "I will give you a son, and from your seed shall it be such a number that you couldn't number the sand of the sea." I'm telling you something. God had promised Abraham fruitfulness. Thomas Jefferson understood God's covenant. I'm fixing to give you another firework, so you got to get ready for this. Thomas Jefferson understood God's covenant with Abram. Jefferson wanted to design on the seal of the United States of America depicting the Jews leaving Egypt. Just as the Hebrews left Egypt and its values, America left Europe and its values. If only those who admired Jefferson would continue to take their advice. At the Constitutional Convention in 1787, Benjamin Franklin said, "God governs in the affairs of man, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, it is probable that a nation can rise without his aid." The covenant is good because God is good. And I'll tell you, and it's not from man. This is a flag of the Israeli nation. This is Israel's flag. It's the Star of David. And you know what? As long as America can join with this flag, as long as these two flags can stand beside each other, God will bless America. Amen. Today that flag is removed from America, the Bible says God will curse us. "I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you." I wouldn't want to be in any of these other countries. Hello? I am proud, and I'm going to be honest with you what I think. I think we're closer than we've been in years. I do. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not here to try to prophesize, but I really believe, and I don't want to get into it now because it's another sermon, if this is a sermon. But I believe God's got Donald Trump in the White House for this reason. Amen. I do. Amen. And I believe there will be an American embassy in Jerusalem. Amen. I do, because of Donald Trump. And God will bless this nation for that. Amen. These two flags are powerful. God's blessed this country. God's hand has been on this nation. And God has promised these people He will bless. I don't understand why God has allowed all the things. I don't understand the Jewish people. I don't understand Americans a lot of times. But I do know this: God loves Israel. And I love Israel. Hello? In fact, I love Israel so much, I think we ought to have a flag like this in our sanctuary. I do. I mean, I know we got the American flag, and I know we got the Christian flag, but somewhere, we probably need to have this flag. Paul Jones is my mentor. He pushes this all the time. Let's support Israel, Ronnie. Let's pray for Israel. Let's pray for the peace of Israel. You know why? Because he studied God's word all of his life. This is a promise that God has made. "I will bless those who bless you." That's a promise that God has made. God will honor the man who honors him and his people. What a blessing. And by the way, there's another promise I want to give you real quick before I leave this. 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way," here's the threefold promise of God: "I will hear your prayer, I'll forgive your sin, I'll heal your land." Does America need healing? I thought the choir conveyed that real good in that song about healing our land. And then prominence is the second word under this covenant. He says, I will make thy name great. Abram became known in the Bible as the man of faith. He was called a friend of God because of his faith. That's pretty good prominence, isn't it? I mean, you're talking about making a name. Well, here's the father of the nation of Israel is Abram. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, here's a firework. Are you ready for it? In fact, I personally think we need to get some of this right here in our church today. I'm going to take a minute to give it to you. Firework number 6 is the right to a God-centered education. Firework number 6, the right to a God-centered education. So what's that got to do with prominence? I'm fixing to tell you. Deuteronomy 6:7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. A little known fact is that the primary purpose for establishing public schools in America was to teach them to be able to read and understand the Bible. Did you know that? You're talking about something that ought to be known among public. And I know the reason God's not, I'll tell you, our school system's a mess now because we've left this place, the place where the Bible was not only the center of our nation, it was the main textbook of our schools. I'm telling you something, it stands out to me. What a firework, a right to a God-centered education. Listen to this, America was able to teach all about the Bible characters and all about the stories of the Bible to the children. Abram was an educated man. God has blessed America with some great men and women. And every one of us ought to know their names. We ought to know the names of our founding fathers. George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, James Monroe, and yes, Benjamin Franklin. These men believed God. They trusted God. And those are names of prominence. Abraham was a name of prominence. I'm telling you, America is a name of prominence because God has blessed America. Why do you think that God is on all of our coins and all of our currency? Because these people believed in trusting in God. And it's written on it, in God we trust. You want to have a name? Then be associated with the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen? And then purpose. And thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless thee with all manner of blessing, he said, so you can glorify me. Abraham was a very, very, very wealthy man. Folks, there's nothing wrong with money as long as you don't let money control you. God blesses one financially so he can bless others. God has blessed America financially. And I believe one reason is because we have been very generous to help people around the world. Now, I know there's a lot of unfair things out there, and I know our nation's in debt. But I'll tell you this, this nation has been generous. We have helped people all around the world. Who's the first? Hey, who's the first when there's a catastrophe in the world? Americans are. I think of all the churches, and I think of Samaritan's Purse, and I think of all the different ministries. I'll tell you, there are still good people in America, and God honors that. God honors. He will bless the people that have that purpose to glorify him. The purpose of blessing Abram was that Abram would bless God, and that's the way I want to close this message today. The last thing, and this really goes with the covenant, so don't let me lose you here. There's the call. There's the covenant. And then there's the blessing. I mean, there's the covering, okay? I want to give you, and that is the blessing. I'll call it the covering. He says, I will bless thee in verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee. I'll curse him that cursed thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God's blessing here speaks of his covering, his favor. That's what his blessing is. Do you want God's favor in your life? Can I help you right now? I'm going to help you because, number one, to have this covering, you need to know who the blesser is. And I'm going to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? If you were to die today, where would you go? Let me tell you something. There's only one way that the death angel was going to be able to pass by the Israelites' home. And that is that the blood was sprinkled. It was over the doorposts. And that was why the Jews celebrate the Passover. They celebrate the Passover. Let me tell you something, friend. It was all because the death angel passed over because of the blood. And the only way you can be saved is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one thing we got to do in this nation again, one thing we got to do in this church again is bless the blesser. Amen. You know who the blesser is? God is your blesser. Amen. And we've moved away. We've got so caught up in the blessings in America, we forgot who blessed us. Hello? We get so caught up in the beauty of His creation, we forget who the Creator is. The covering, you want the blessings of God. You want this covenant to be activated in your life. It's like I said the other week. You want to get it activated? I'm going to teach you as a church. You start praising God. You start lifting up your hands, thanking Him for what He's done for you. What do the angels do? For all eternity, they're blessing, they're praising, they're thanking Him, they're giving Him glory, they're worshiping God. The angels don't look after you just because you deserve an angel. I'll tell you the angel that looks after you. The angel sees you giving God worship, you're ministering to God, you're praising the blesser. The angel says, I'm going to look after that person. I'm going to join them because they're praising my Maker, they're praising God, I'm going to praise Him. And all of a sudden, you got a whole army of angels around you because you're praising God. Angels of the Lord encamp about them that fear God. And those of us who fear God recognize that it would be dangerous for us not to praise Him. Amen. It would be dangerous, church, for us not to thank the One who's blessed us as a nation. Amen. Are you listening to me today? We are the most blessed people on the face of God's earth. We don't know how blessed we are. Thank God for our men and women in arms. Thank God for the military. You know why terrorists? You know why terrorists are terrorists? Because they are afraid of the American army. Amen. You know why they're terrorists? Because they are cowards. Amen. And they fly their planes in a World Trade Center. Amen. Let me tell you how Americans are. We'll fight you one-on-one. That's the right way. If you got a problem with somebody, as Ray says, step out back. You say, preacher, is that wrong? Well, let me tell you something. I believe it's right to defend your nation. Amen. I do. Thank God that Trump is doing some things to say, hey, you know, enough's enough. We're going to secure our borders. Amen. You know, it's time that we recognize something. That folks, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And this covering of God comes, I believe, when we bless the blesser. You want the blessing of God on you? Bless the blesser. Amen. That's firework number 7. I believe I'll have one right here. Amen. Our personal accountability to God. Now, that may not be popular, but that is a value of the Judeo-Christian identity, and that is our personal accountability to God. Daniel Webster, the great American statesman, who once was asked, what is the most sobering thought that has ever entered your mind? Here's his answer, quote, he quickly responded, my personal accountability to God. Daniel Webster knew that one day he would stand before a holy God in eternity and give an account for his actions. The same applies to every man here today, every woman, every boy and every girl, and every nation. Folks, I don't know what it is. A lot of people grow up thinking this, that they don't have to give an account to anybody. Everybody's accountable to somebody. Amen. Amen. And the sooner you learn that, the better off you are. Amen. We all are accountable to God. You will. I don't care what you think today. I really don't. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It don't matter what your religion is, what you believe, whether you believe in Christianity or not, you will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and you will bless His name. He is the Creator of all. And folks, I don't know why God has favored this nation so much except that we've allied ourselves with this nation. That's the only answer. Why did God bless America? Our founding fathers making the Bible the center of every document, everything they wrote, they quoted the Bible. Then America coming alongside of Israel. I believe that to be true. We need to bless the blesser. Here it is. Then you got to look at the blessing. He says in verse 3, them that bless thee. He says, and I will bless them that bless thee. We're talking about the blessing now. And I'll curse him that curseth thee. Now, what is he saying? God is saying here, your friend will be my friend, and your enemy will be my enemy. Those who aligned himself with my people Israel. Listen to me carefully. Listen to very, very carefully to this. This is a powerful statement I'm about to make. The enemies of Israel are the enemies of God. And I promise you on the authority of God's word, there ain't no one going to hurt them Jews. No, no, no. I'm going to tell you something. The battle of Armageddon, I'm going to tell you who's going to win that. Jesus is. And I'm going to tell you something. As long as America, I'm going to tell you, we're the ones that need this covering right here. Amen. We need God's protection. This is God's protection right here. God entered into a covenant, and he's covering Israel with his protection. You might think that he's not, but I promise you on the authority of his word, friend, Israel is covered. And if we can stay close to Israel, God will cover us. Are y'all following me? Amen. I know we got a big army, but I'm going to tell you something. Our God's bigger than any army. And the blessing of all blessing is the fact that this nation was founded upon Judeo-Christian principles and that we align ourselves with the nation of Israel. The last thing is the blessed. The blessed. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. America has been blessed as a nation in a particular way. We are not a special people above any other people, not at all. But God's blessings has certainly been upon us because for the greater part of our history, a greater part of our people have honored and obeyed the word of God. I still believe, and I'm going to strongly disagree, and all you YouTube people can hear this. I strongly disagree with our last president, Obama, when he said that this nation is no longer a Christian nation. I'm here to tell you, I believe with all my heart, America is still a Christian nation. I still believe that this nation believes the Bible to be the Word of God. And folks, you may not understand this, but I understand it clearly in my heart that because we have been a people of this book, God has covered this nation. He has blessed this nation. And I'll tell you, we just need to stick with this book. We need to stick with this nation, and we need to stick with blessing the blesser, and God will send his blessings on us, and we will continue to be the most blessed people on the face of this earth. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you something that's bothering me this morning. I got to get this off my chest. Why aren't we rejoicing more? I was thinking about this morning during worship. Man, we are so blessed. Amen. I'm not asking us to become charismatic or become crazy. But I'm asking you to bless the blesser. Amen. 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 He's blessed you so much. Amen. And I am right on this. You either come today and bow before him and accept him as your Lord and Savior, or one day you will bow before him. And I'm sorry to say, look up here and I'm almost done. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Because it's going to be too late then. Amen. This invitation is for you. I don't use scare tactics. I want to use love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you today, loved you so much he wouldn't leave you like you are. He went to the cross and died for your sin debt, and he rose again so he could come in and live in your heart. Would you make him your Lord and your Savior today? The greatest blessing this man's ever had is the day I got saved. Amen. What a blessed Savior. What a Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you like to do that right now? Right where you are. Not going to come to you, not going to embarrass you, but you can pray right now. Right where you are and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Would you like to do that? All you got to do is acknowledge that you're a sinner. Be willing to turn from your sin and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Salvation's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You don't deserve it, but it's by grace we're saved. I'm going to pray a simple prayer of repentance. And I'm going to ask you if you want to pray that prayer. Make it your prayer from your heart to God right now. Just pray this prayer silently. Say, dear God, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for all my sins. I believe he rose from the grave that I might have life. I know I've sinned. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of all my sins, to come into my heart and save my soul. And from this day on, I surrender my all to Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know one of the best ways you can bless this blesser today? is by not being ashamed of him. The Bible says, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Heavenly Father. If you prayed that prayer and you want to follow Jesus, this is an invitation. And as long as I'm your pastor, we'll never stop giving invitations. Amen. This is an invitation for you to come to Christ. We invite you because Jesus said, whosoever will may come. Amen. You want to come to this altar? You may. The altar is wide open. I'm just going to ask you to do something today. One thing. Just going to ask you to do one thing. That's all. One thing. Obey God. Just obey God. We're going to sing this song. I chose it because I thought, you know what? This song reminds us of who God is. That he's over all kings and kingdoms. He's over our president. He's over all leaders, princes, and all the leaders of this world. I want you to worship him right now at this invitation because he is your all in all. Let's all stand as we worship the blesser who blesses us. And may you be blessed at this invitation as you come.